Like a different color.
We're gonna get a tablecloth.
A cloth of the table type.
Okay. Everybody ready?
Yep. Are you?
Yeah.
All right.
Are you?
Do the thing. You know the thing.
Well, howdy. Welcome to the Ramble Room. I'm Ken, and I'm here with all the usual suspects. I have a special guest today. His name is Blake Stanley. And I wanted to ask him if he was interested. I think it was the Wyoming Tribune Eagle had an ad that might be of interest to you. Maybe you've seen it, maybe you haven't, but it's a help wanted ad.
I've heard about it.
Yeah, it says, U.S. Representative opening. Urgent need to find a local applicant for an opening as U.S. Representative in 20 and 22. Must begin job application process immediately. Travel is required. The ideal candidate will have a spine, common sense, and a willingness to stand up to the machinations of entrenched coastal interests. Must carry out the will of Wyoming voters and not veer off on personal political vendettas.
I think I should just say must carry.
Must carry?
Yeah.
Pack.
You need to be packing heat at all times. You have my vote.
Winner.
Yeah, I'm carrying right now, you know, because I didn't know what I was walking into when I came.
Yeah. The room is packing.
Well, we don't get much respect for anybody that doesn't carry, so. At any rate, Blake, it's good to have you here in the Ramble Room.
Well, thank you.
And look forward to hearing what you have to say. One of the things we always talk about in politics is if you find yourself as a candidate and you find yourself stuck in an elevator for a little short ride up the deal, somebody might be standing beside you, you introduce yourself, and you got, say, 2 minutes to just kind of tell them who you are and what you're about, what you're running for, that kind of thing. I'm assuming that because you're a veteran, you've run through a couple of candidacies in the past. This is what, your third?
This will be my third in 2022.
Yep. That you'd be prepared for that. So give us your elevator speech.
Okay, my elevator speech. I'm Blake Stanley. I was raised in Cheyenne. I think everybody here knows the shape this nation is in. I'm going to step on some toes right here. We can really blame the shape the nation's in due to the clergy we have there today. You know, the pastors, which are supposed to be the leaders of this nation, not speaking to all of them, but, you know, a large percentage of them have not done their job. They're scared of stepping on toes, you know, being politically correct. I might lose my 501c3, or is it a 502 anyhow, but my tax-exempt status. Well, you know, who really cares? You know, God owns the bank. He can make up the difference. And, you know, so the country's in the shape it's in. We've removed God from the schools, God from everyday life. You've taken down the Ten Commandments, taken Bible and prayer out of schools in 62, 63. Man, is where we at today kind of a trickle-down effect of that? I think so, along with many others. The truth is, if we had the pastors that we have today back in 1775, we'd probably still be British subjects. And if we had the pastors that we had in 1775 today, this nation probably wouldn't be the shape it's in, because they were leaders back then and stood up. You know, they weren't a bunch of spineless invertebrates.
I like that. Jellyfish.
Jellyfish, yes. So, thank you for that.
It's Give the us, truth, but the truth it, offends people.
I don't care.
Not in this room.
That's why I'm not. That's why I'm not preaching anymore. But that's a whole other story. So, give us three priorities. You're obviously going to go up against Liz Cheney. Not your first time to meet up against her. She is, in my opinion, one of the worst of the swamp creatures. She moved to Washington D.C. when she was about 2 years old. Grew up there and doesn't know anything at all about Wyoming or its people, which is obvious by the way she's acted. But my point in here is not necessarily to have you attack Liz, but to just talk about what are your objectives should you be able to replace her and go to Washington.
Man, I just want to stand up for the people of Wyoming, stand up for this nation, try to do the best, turn this nation around, put it back on its founding principles. Like I said, you know, this nation was founded by Christians. They put God first. I mean, this nation's straight out of the Bible. Our form of government is. You know, I have a lot of people tell me, well, God puts, you know, who he wants in power. Well, you can't tell that by looking at the Bible. If you go to Hosea 8:4, it says, you've appointed kings and not by me. So it's pretty cut and clear that, you know, we get who we want. I believe this, there was a lot of cheating went on in this election. I believe future will prove that.
Yeah, so do we. It's pretty obvious, by the way, that Congress acted whenever we brought the evidence to them, and they just
swept it under the table.
They didn't. They didn't say anything. They just said, we don't want to look at it. There's no cheating. Joe Biden's your president. That's
yeah. Even the Supreme Court joined them in that.
Right. Right.
One of the things in a recent interview that was mentioned was the dereliction of duty that they should be charged with and impeach themselves.
Yeah, he's not my president. You know, you look what his first day in office, he's bragging about putting a transvestite in his cabinet. You know, and the pro-abortion and stuff, I'm sorry, but I don't have a, maybe I shouldn't say, but a Satanist, or, you know, as my leader. And if they're doing ungodly principles, I will stand in front of them the whole way and fight them to the end.
We need that.
So what offices have you previously held, if any, and then just kind of explain what you're running for this year?
Well, I'll be running for the U.S. House. I've never held any offices before. A little story what even got me to start. I'm a graduate of Karis Bible College, which is down in the Colorado Springs area. It's Woodland Park, Colorado. And I graduated from there in 2009. And in 2015, it had been about March, I was down there visiting, and a lady who's retired now named Bonnie Ware, she said, guess what's coming, Blake? I said, you know what? And she says, we're going to be starting a school of practical government designed to put Christians in office. And there was a group of us standing there, and almost instantly the light bulb came on, and I said, I'm supposed to run for Congress and for the U.S. House. And people said, why that? I said, I don't know. That's what's there. Have you held any office? No. Well, why that? I don't know. That's you know, what's there. And I'd been in the oil field, and the oil field had just crashed, had money in the bank, so I came back to school that year. It wasn't ready, so I went to what was called a school of leadership that was starting up. It's inaugural year to kind of prepare you for that. And then the following year, I went to there, and I told people from right off the bat in 15 that I'm supposed to run in 18. Well, 18 rolled around, and I was saying, well, it's probably going to be 20 because I'm not ready for it. And I went down there the end of May for graduation to see a friend from when I'd been in Bible college, Kay Williams, her grandson, who she's deceased now, but her grandson was graduating from there. And this kid had been a mess, been to prison a couple times, you know, was 23 years old, and I seen what happened to him when God got a hold of him. And so I went down to see him graduate, and I told him, I want to take you to lunch afterwards. He said, I'm going with some friends, and I said, how many of you? And he said, there'll be four of us. And I said, I'll buy y'all lunch. And anyhow, as I walked and started to get into my truck in the parking lot, well, to back up, for about 2 months prior to this, I'd been feeling in my spirit, I kept hearing that a window is open. I wasn't hearing a door, I was hearing a window is open. And I even shared that with a pastor, Mark Cowart. He's got a church for all nations, Colorado Springs. He's very politically incorrect. I mean, before all the elections, he won't tell you who to vote for, but he'll put all the candidates on the big screen and go down what they stand for.
We talked about him.
You know, and a good man. He's bold, stands up for truth. But so anyhow, I get to my truck, and as I'm opening the door, a car backs in next to me. And so it's driver to driver. And I noticed they didn't have no, like, a student ID, no sticker in the windshield or nothing. A lady opens the door, middle-aged woman, we're about the same age. She goes, who are you? Are you a student? I said, no, I'm an alumni. And she said, you're walking across the parking lot. And the Lord spoke to me, and he says, you're a statesman. And I said, well, I'm interested in that, and I plan on running for the U.S. House in 2022. It's like she's going to break down and cry. She says, you're supposed to be running now. And I said, well, I know that, but, you know, I had a big old long list of reasons why it wasn't now, and she just laid into me. You're supposed to be running now. You're supposed to be in, you know. And
Moses gave God a long list of reasons why he wasn't the right guy either.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. And so did Jonah, and look what happened to him.
Yeah. Nineveh and Washington, D.C. probably have a lot in common.
So I left there anyhow, and I drove back up to Cheyenne. First, I went to lunch with them guys, told them what had happened. They said, well, that wasn't the devil in the parking lot. You better jump in it. So I drove back up to Cheyenne, and when I got there to the Secretary of State's office, there were 3 days left to get in the race. So I jumped in. That was in 18. and didn't know nothing, just basically go out and start meeting and greeting people. Everybody said it'd be a miracle if you break 10%. They didn't tell me that, but I did that. And then last year, the same thing. I know that's what I'm supposed to do, and have a good friend that's in the ministry. He's on TV. I won't name names, but he always just says, you keep doing the last thing God tells you to do until he tells you something different. Mm-hmm. So here I am.
So in the last few days, State Senator Anthony Bessard has announced his candidacy for the same office. Now, I think back to the last election a couple of years ago, and I don't remember how many people were running against Cynthia Lummis, but it was a concern to me that the people that were willing to contest Cynthia Lummis, their vote was being split 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 ways. And it is a concern of mine that the same thing is going to happen. There's a fervor to get rid of Cheney. Bouchard raised, I think he said, something like $70,000 in the first 2 or 3 days after he announced. It's a hard question, especially in light of your feeling led to run. But at what point do the people that are running need to look together and for the common good say, maybe several of us should step out so that somebody can beat Cynthia? Has that thought occurred to you, or you comments
on
that?
Well, it's just me and Anthony now. I don't know Anthony personally. I know of him. I've been told that he's just straight on. I mean, he's right on all the points. I've been told he
votes extremely conservative.
I met him
10, 12 mm-hmm. years ago. We spoke at an event together.
I've heard he can be kind of abrasive and tend to, yep. But you know what? When you speak the truth, that happens.
Abrasive is always good.
Well, when you go, one of the things that I happen to like about him is when you go to Washington, D.C., where you've got all these people rolling over, he's somebody that will not do that.
Right.
And I have that confidence in you as well. One benefit that I know both of you, and one benefit that I see is that you have a little more of a relaxed one-to-one style, and I appreciate that. If I have a weakness, I've gone back and listened to some of your earlier speeches I've heard you give several live. One of your weaknesses is, in my mind, a lack of real specifics. These are, for example, I asked about three things that you would want to do as priorities. I think everybody needs, maybe I'm wrong, but I think everybody needs some legislative priorities. What are your targets? What are you going to go to?
You know, like I said before, a lot of mine's God, getting back into everything. Education's big. Our education system is terrible. I mean, we used to be the top schools in the world, and I mean, we're way down the list now. But energy, I mean, I think Trump did well on our energy. We need to keep that up. I mean, truth be known, we got more out there. And we're from Wyoming. Energy is our lifeblood here.
Right.
You know, so when they go cutting back on that, that really hammers this state when you look at, not only nationwide, but for the state of Wyoming. I mean, that's our priority is our energy. That's our big one other than agriculture. But, you know, I'd say energy is probably the top
Absolutely.
Income in the state for taxes and everything.
Feds just cut the knees out from under us. So there's a big fight that has to happen there. You know, with the federal leases being shut down and everything else, that's going to affect Wyoming probably more than any other state. There are other states that produce more, but we are a little bit less diversified than they.
Well, I think, isn't Texas actually the only other state that produces more energy than us? I always thought we were number two.
I couldn't tell you straight off the top of my head, but we are a major producer. It depends on whether you're talking coal or oil or all of
Even
them
combined.
Together or natural gas. And yeah, certainly Wyoming is very, very wealthy. Was. I don't know how that's going to go for now.
Give it a minute.
Yeah.
you cut oil away from Wyoming, and there's a huge loss there.
Yeah. So we've got education and energy. Is there a third?
You know, I think we could bring some more manufacturing into the state. You know, I've kind of touched a little bit of that, I think, before on maybe with Glenn Woods. But one thing, we all love Wyoming. We're the least populated state in the nation. And, man, if we start creating a lot more jobs here and people start flocking into Wyoming, will Wyoming still remain Wyoming?
not looking like it. You look at the counties that are booming, like Sheridan County, and the voting here just for president in this precinct that we live in was almost 50-50 Biden and Trump.
Yeah, you know, and that's scary when you look at, you know, what they stand for. I mean, I'm not voting for the man. I'm voting for their policies.
Exactly.
You know, would I like Trump as a person? Well, I've never met him. But the truth be known, as far as the policies, he was the most constitutionally correct president we've ever had since Calvin Coolidge.
He's also the best friend toward the church, probably, that we've ever had.
And that's the truth, yes. I mean, he's rolled back regulations on the church. He's given her voice back. And a big thing, you know, I had my wild years growing up, but I was raised in the church. And one thing my mother always told me about, she said, never turn your back on Israel. Those are God's chosen people. And his word's very clear. I'll bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And Trump was probably the most Israel-friendly president we've ever had. Other than maybe, you know, Truman said they had a right to exist.
Right, right.
Thanks for that. I just Googled it real fast. The rankings for total energy production as of 2018, according to the EIA.gov, Texas was number one, Pennsylvania number two, Wyoming number three. And congratulations, Joe, Oklahoma is in fourth place.
Darn right.
Agenda, we've talked about that. We've talked about a number of things. Is there anything that we have failed to ask you about that you really need to express?
Where do I stand on the Second Amendment?
We kind of covered that when you walked in the room.
As a matter of fact, that's a God-given right.
Absolutely.
I mean, I don't believe a state or a government has a right to tell you can't do that. I mean, unless you're a convicted felon or a dangerous criminal, a danger to society. You'll find that an armed society is a more polite society.
That's true. That is very true. One of the problems with saying unless they're a danger to society, because right now the church is about that far, and I'm holding my fingers very close together, the church is about that far from being declared a danger to society. Mm-hmm. And there's the rub.
One of the rubs.
Yes.
We got a lot of rubs.
Well, one thing that kind of scares me is I recently diagnosed with PTSD, and they're lumping mental illness in with a danger to society, but who gets to decide where that line is drawn with a threat to society? It's a threat to society. I own guns. I've never shot anybody. I've
yet
never
have
even
the guns done that on their own accord.
No, I got one sitting right behind me, and I feel pretty safe with him. You know, just
you know, part of that too is the problem with our court system. When its country was founded, they were known as Court of Justice. And you didn't have all the appeals and stuff. And your jury was your deciding factor in a court case. A judge could not overturn a jury decision. And that changed. Actually, that was brought about, I believe it was in the late 1800s. You had a lot of the big monopolies, you know, the Rockefellers, and I mean the railroad people, and they were stepping on the little people. And they were getting chewed up and kind of spit out in court, the monopolies were, and I think there was probably some money changed hands, and, you know, it's not the judge's decision to decide the law. That's the way the country was set up.
Right.
But a lot of them have, almost put themselves in the place of God.
It's very true, and, the court system is constantly moving the bar to what they can and cannot do. And it's kind of getting scary. Like, for one, speech right now is under attack. So we're in this predicament. Like, we can't speak out without sounding crazy to the left, and we can't fight our case online or on the radio without somebody saying, okay, they're crazy and shutting you down. So we don't have a voice anymore. We're just gun-toting crazy people. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the fear of them being able to take away our guns. They're already signing into law. They're going to tax us for our ammunition and our guns.
You know, it's for kind of what's going on in the world or in this nation right now. That's the reason we were given a Second Amendment, was to protect us. I pray to God it don't ever come to that. But that's why we were given that.
Right.
Because, you know, our founding fathers, it all came from nations where they did not have that. And, you know, God, I pray that it never comes to that, but that's the reason for that, is protect against a tyrannical government. You know, the government should fear the people, not the people the government.
Right. That's why we're armed, so that they are afraid of us. But they seem to be less and less afraid of us as we go along.
They've never been held accountable for anything.
Right. Because all these gun-toting Americans don't really stand up. The Republican Party is polite. And well, that's one of our greatest weaknesses and our greatest strengths. But we tend to be polite, and so we're just losing a little bit at a time. They're nipping away at
us. That was, you know, one reason they don't like Trump so much. I heard Dinesh D'Souza talk about that, where the Republican Party has always ran for office Boy Scouts.
Yeah, that sounds
Mitt
about
Romney
right.
Romney and stuff like that. And like
and
you said, when we got Trump in there, we ended up with the world champion mud wrestler.
Right.
So on the topic of the Second Amendment, to me, it's split into two obvious parts, the first half being shall not be infringed. So is there any legislation that you would stand behind to regulate anything on the Second Amendment, anything about citizens' rights to keep and bear arms?
I really would like to have an Abrams. I can't afford it. But I would like to have an Abrams.
If we all pitch in, we can get one.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we could all pitch in and get one.
Yeah, I don't even know what there are. They're probably a couple $1 million.
Well, they're 60 tons.
They fire a big round, and just the ammunition is more expensive than I can afford. So
anyway, the question was, is there any legislation that you would actually stand behind and vote in favor of that in any way inhibited the Second Amendment?
Man, you know, we've already got all the legislation that we need right there. It's just upholding what we got and saying no.
And getting rid of some of what we got.
Yeah, get rid of some. I mean, we keep passing laws for what? If we would just, you know, people would obey what we got, obey God's law, natural law,
yeah, how many,
you know, we wouldn't have a problem.
How many more laws do you need piled on top of laws? When somebody goes out and aggressively shoots somebody else, they've broken a number of laws.
Right.
So let's just add more.
And no, even no Republican, gun-toting Republican, agrees with people going out and shooting
no.
people. This is...
Well, that depends on who it is.
We're going to have to edit that out.
So my question is... Probably can't hear me. We agree with you that we need to get back to the principles, the biblical principles, because that's where people should be in order to have a decent society. But in the U.S. Congress, what can you do to make that happen? How is running for Congress going to contribute to that happening in Wyoming?
Well, you're just going to have to stand up for the principles, but you're going to have to get like-minded individuals to align with you, you know, and to just be on your side. One person, that's a pretty tall order. But, you know, united, you know, there's power in a mob.
Right, but as far as, like, that's one thing that we've talked about a lot with the COVID thing and some of the other, like, I don't know, just some of the issues we've been talking about, where if we could just feel like we had some people together in a group that we could join with to make a difference, maybe we could get something changed, but there doesn't seem to be any cohesion anywhere. So what would you do about that?
Well, you're just going to have to form some cohesion there, you know, find common ground.
Okay.
And work from there, which might be kind of tough to do.
Yeah.
I mean,
right.
But you're greatly outnumbered there.
Is there a plan?
Well, I'm not there yet, so no.
I think of the Senate, and you look at people like Ted Cruz, whom I respect and admire
tremendously.
Oh, I expect
him greatly.
But, man, how many times has he been the lone, or maybe he and Josh Hawley are about the only two that are there. But I think that if you have a couple of strong people that will stand up, just as Mark Jennings has done in the Wyoming State House, that a lot of people who are kind of riding the fence
will come across.
Exactly. So we need people there like yourself, in my mind, that are able to get people to join together and not be divisive and not just blow everything apart. It's
too many people, even though that you're putting there, are not maybe strong, even or I won't say morally strong. But, man, I don't want to get out there by myself. Right. I'll get smashed like a bug.
There's a lot of fear that you're going to be ridiculed in that situation from your own party and definitely from the opposition. that you're going to be destroyed and your livelihood be destroyed, especially nowadays. You know, you see what they're trying to do to Trump. They're trying to get rid of him entirely, even in his personal life.
That's true. You know, I keep going back to school, so I'm spending, you know, make it so they can come try to destroy me. There ain't a whole lot they can take from me other than my life.
Right.
You know, and if I have to give that up for standing for truth and for the right principles, I'm willing to do that. I mean, one of these days we're all going to depart from here.
Right.
And where you want to spend eternity is going to be your own choice. But, you know, all I want to hear is well done, my faithful servant. I sure don't want to have to do any explaining.
And that, I think it might make a lot of people nervous saying, you know, we want to vote for this guy, but he doesn't seem to have a plan. I think it's really hard to have a plan when you sound like an idealist because you want to uphold the faith, because then you get into Washington.
Well, that is
and
the plan.
It's just, right. But you going in there with some certain agenda saying, this is what I want to get accomplished. We need more people like Mark Jennings, who, from what I've heard, just votes no on everything. Not necessarily trying to be on the offensive saying we need to create more legislation, but being on the defensive saying that's enough. We don't need more laws on the books, and we need to stand up for the faith and for the Constitution. And it's hard to have a plan because once you go in there, your plan's kind of done for. Right.
It's kind of like roller derby, that the plan changes as you go around.
We ought to cut back government. I mean, it's out of control. It was never designed in this nation to be what it is. Even when you talk about taxes, there are some taxes that you need some taxes, but like a progressive income tax, that's contrary to the God's word.
Right. Right.
Anything that starts with progressive, even the insurance company, we kind of go,
Yeah, yeah.
Plus, they have really
sorry,
terrible
Flo.
Commercials.
Yeah. Flo, you're lovely, but we just can't do business with you.
No, you're too progressive for me.
Yeah, because I was listening to that earlier today. It was, I think it was David Barton, maybe Carol Swain. It was on a teaching. I don't know if you know who Carol Swain is. She's a professor of...
I know David Barton, but I can't tell you about Swain.
Okay, she's a pretty amazing woman, high school dropout, mother of three, black lady, that devout Christian, but ended up going and making something for herself. She's a professor at, I believe it's Vanderbilt now. And, man, she speaks the truth. But, I mean, it just shows you what can do when you can do in this nation. It's the only nation like that when you put your nose to the grindstone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from, you got greater opportunities here than in any place on earth.
Mm-hmm. So far.
Yeah, I always say, just give it a minute. Just give it a minute.
they want to do everything they can do to squash it.
To me, that's an answer, part of an answer to my question, though, as far as we don't need more regulation. Let's cut some of that out. We don't need to go to Congress and I'm going to pass some laws. If you campaigned on going to Congress and getting rid of some laws, that would be
right.
A plan to me.
Right. Government don't need to be in our business, but we should be in theirs.
Oh, definitely.
I mean, you know,
well,
it is
their business,
we the people,
is our
for
business.
The people, but I mean, they seem to think that we work for them and not them for us.
Right, that's why they felt so comfortable with these mandates. Oh, you will wear a mask. No, I won't.
Well, you look at the states with the most, what would you call them, draconian laws,
right.
Are the ones with the worst record.
I have, I guess he's kind of a stepdad in Houston, Texas, and they have very strict masks enforcement, and they said it's just blowing up down there. Mm-hmm. They said it's just going crazy, and everybody's wearing a mask.
I don't wear one in public, and I don't care what they put out there for a mandate. I will not if I'm around people, but if I'm outside, I'm not going to do it. Now, if I go, because mandating us to wear them is in direct violation of our rights. Now, but if I'm going into a business, that's someone's private business, and they ask me to wear one coming in, I'm going to do that because refusing to is a violation of theirs.
Right. Sure. And it's just polite.
Well, except that speaking of upholding the laws already on the books, if you're carrying, you can't wear a mask, which is what Dad has told people.
That's a law. If you're a concealed carry, you cannot wear a mask or the two together. That law predates any of this COVID stuff. But
dang, I've been breaking the law. I'm sorry. I don't know what we're going to do about that.
Yeah, you're in trouble. So... I'm the same way. And if I go into a business and they're going to insist that I wear a mask, which nobody has done to me yet, I've been everywhere. I'll just find someplace else to go. I don't need whatever it is they have that badly. But I work in a lot of people's private homes. And you go into somebody's private home and they meet you at the door with a mask, as happened to me a couple of weeks ago, and say, "Don't you wear a mask?" And I said, "No, I don't." And he said, "Why?" And I said, "Because it's a lie." And he said, "Well, I think you should wear a mask." And I said, "I'll just leave." And he said, "Well, okay, come on in, do what you got to do. We'll just socially distance." Okay.
I've also heard this. I don't know if this is a fact, but I've heard it's a federal law. You can't wear a mask into a bank.
I've heard that. But you can go through the drive-thru with one, apparently.
Right. Well, we haven't been able to go to our bank since this all broke out. They won't even let us in the door.
The lobby's still closed. You can go in there by appointment only.
Mm. Where's that at?
U.S. Bank.
I think I changed banks.
Most of the banks in town.
First Interstate has never opened their lobby.
Yeah, most of the lobbies are closed. Even Cowboy State, which is a very small, locally owned, lobbies are closed. But
it is a fear of being ridiculed. It's not, you know, I don't think that these people actually have that big of a fear of this virus. I think that they're absolutely just scared of being destroyed.
There's a picture in the paper just a couple of days ago, a bunch of high school kids, and of course they're all having to wear masks. And there are 9 kids, I think it is, in the picture, and every one of them either has it pulled down underneath their chin, all of them, at least their nose is exposed. A lot of them, one of them's hanging off the side of his face. If it's serious, you know, in the military, if you're in a biologically contaminated area, you're going to mask up.
Right.
And you're going to decontaminate properly. That's one of the things that's most frustrating about this, is it just is a game. And I won't go into the story again, but it's a little bit insane. What it does, though, is it softens us up for the next thing. Right. Okay, the next thing, maybe it's climate change that is causing a problem. So what we're going to have to do is mandate that you can only drive your car on odd number days, and on even number days you have to walk. Or all these other things we're all going to have to give up. We're all going to have to give something up in order for the betterment of the planet. Yeah, it's not forever.
They're going to have us farting in pickle jars for too long.
Who?
You can't release that out into the planet. You gotta fart in this pickle jar.
The cows should be doing that already, because yes. They're the ones that farted a hole in the ozone layer, right?
Right, that's what they say, you know. There was even something where they talked about them wearing diapers or something.
Who's going to put that diaper in?
HEPA filter diaper.
When I was watching David Barton this morning, though, he got out graphs and was showing, and he said, "This is factual. There has been no increase in the climate's temperature to speak of since 1997. It's been flat."
Yeah. Well, that's okay, because of all the hard work that we've put in to protect it, don't you know?
Well, it shows that the carbon monoxide has gone up, but they went through the time and shows when it was coming up during the time that the temperature would increase for a period of a couple of years. There was a abnormal percentage, like solar flares,
right,
was causing it.
It could be all kinds of trying to find cause and effect in something as complex as that is ridiculous, unless you need a cause to affect change.
All this is
anything will work.
Yeah, all that is control. You're wanting control of the people.
Exactly.
And it's nothing but that.
And it's kind of hard to measure, you know, climate change whenever you're flying through space, which that's why they call it, the reason they call it space, because there's a lot of space. And so you're flying through space, and things are going to change along the way. I mean, this planet is moving. So we're moving around the sun, and the sun is flying through space.
We as a planet are flying through space.
Right.
Okay. I was trying to grasp what you were getting. I got you now.
I'm not personally. My drug days
Those
are
days
over.
Are gone.
But, you know, so, you know, we're moving through space, and the sun's moving through space, and things are going to change. We're not sitting still. Things are going to change, and they have changed before. They will change again. And so climate change is just kind of this big joke. You know, well, to me it is. To some people, it's we're going to die in 2022. And it's like, okay, well, you can die in 2022. I'm going to keep living. But it's kind of hard to measure that whenever you're moving so much through space, solar flares, just gravity in general changes.
But that's why they very carefully changed the term from global warming oh crap, it's not really warming. Well, it's climate change.
Right.
But the climate has been changing and fluctuating. Right.
There was an ice
forever.
Age.
Yes, it runs through. Actually, I've heard this. I don't have no way to prove it. Maybe, but they said 2,000 years ago, the Earth was warmer than it is now. But I don't know. You probably remember.
It back,
was, wasn't it in the 70s? They were worrying about it cooling.
Oh yeah,
the cooling.
I remember.
We were going to go into an ice age.
Yep, I remember the forecast of an ice age. It's all because of pollution, and we've got to change everything.
Blocking out the sun.
But as for 2,000 years ago, it had to have been warmer. Have you ever seen a picture of Jesus wearing a parka?
No, I haven't.
So it must have been warmer.
Not even shoes.
Do we have any other questions? Because.
Any closing thoughts?
No, I think we covered about everything. I'll just tell the people out there, you know, man, I love this nation. I love the Lord. I love the people of Wyoming. And, you know, I'll give my life for this nation. I'll give my life for you. I took an oath over 40 years ago. It said that I'd defend the nation and the Constitution against all enemies, both foreign and domestic. And if what we're seeing out there today isn't domestic enemies, I don't know what is.
Well, thank you, Blake, for sitting in with us. We've enjoyed it. Come back again through the campaign. We'll continue to promote anything that we can.
Awesome. Thank you. Pleasure to be here. God bless you all. Have a good day.
God bless you, too.